we're up to Parak Mem Ches Pasuk Tezvav. The division of Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yecheskel, times of Mashiach. The redivision of the land we've gone through so far. We're working our way down. We first went through the boundaries. We defined the boundaries. That was the first part. And then we've then gone through already eight pieces of land. Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Menashe, Ephraim, Reuben, Yehuda. And then we're right now in the middle discussing the Terumah. That's the center, that's the eighth piece strip of land, 25,000 kanim from north to south, by 25,000 kanim from east to west, and then the leftover goes to the Nasi. And we're right now in the middle of breaking down this section into its parts. We've described already the part for the Kohanim, that's the upper portion, the 10,000 kanim by 25,000 kanim, and then we've discussed yesterday the Levim. And we've mentioned that you're not allowed to sell. The last thing we learned yesterday is that the Kohanim and the Levim that receive a chilek in the land are not allowed to sell. They're not allowed to sell a portion to another shevet, and they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to exchange it. So now we're up to the next portion, the lowest portion, the last portion of this section. That is the last portion, the bottom of the last portion, the bottom, which is 5,000 konim from north to west, top to down, to bottom, and across from east to west, left to right, it is 25,000 konim. So the pasuk here says, pasuk perik mem ches, pasuk tes vav, v'chamesh esalafim hanoisar. The remaining 5,000 konim, 30,000 amos, which goes from north to south, left over from the total of the 25,000, Beroichav, which is Beroichav al Pnei Chamisha the Eshrim Elef, which has the length from east to west, left to right on this paper, 25,000, Choil Hu, it shall be mundane. This does not have any Kedusha. Lo'ir, what shall it be used for? If you look in the chart, you see the Lo'ir tree for the city. In the center, there's a section called the city. Lemoishav, Lo'ir, now a trap. Notice in the piece of paper, they put the two words together. Le'ir le'moishav. The Tameh HaMikra does not do that. It says Lo'ir, period. There's a Zakef Karton. And then it says le'moishav. The purpose of the city is for living. Ule Migrosh. And there's an area that surrounds it. They have an arrow above it on the piece of paper. Migrosh Lo'ir. 250 L'chol Ruach, which we'll see in a moment. Which is the Amos. The Hoyisahir Bisaicha, and that box, that's going to be the city. So seemingly that's Yerushalayim. That's going to be the new Yerushalayim. The Beis Hamikdash is a way above, up there in the area by the Kohanim, above the Levim, and then there's going to be a city. And this is the city, doesn't explain to us the walls of the city, how this all this works. I mean, because we have a halacha that you eat a Maiser Sheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. So explain to me, where are the walls of Yerushalayim in the times of Mashiach? Where are the walls? So from this psukim, you get the impression that the walls are only going to be around this thing called the Ir Limoshav. But the Har HaBayis, in the section of the Kohanim and the Levim, that's not part of the city. It appears to be an open area. So where then will a person be permitted or obligated to eat the Maaser Sheni? How are these things going to work out in the times of Mashiach? It's not clear. Because we're specifically dedicating this little section here on the bottom as the Ir Limoishav.
It doesn't seem like you put it three lines. It can be that the ear is inside the circle and then the other one the circle around it.
So you're saying there's another wall. The other wall goes around the entire 25,000...
No, the Ilam Mashav is, let's say, put a circle around the dot that you have for Mikdash Hashem.
No, that's the Har HaBayis. The Mikdash Hashem is the Har HaBayis. What?
That's the Har HaBayis. A radius of a certain, which gives works out to.
So you're going to put a wall around it. Another wall. Okay, maybe.
And then you put another wall later for the Kahan, and another wall for the Levi.
You know, these are massive walls. These are 50 mile walls. What's the border of the United States? Trump's wall in Mexico is how many miles? 3,000 miles, what?
There's a wall in Israel they built between the Arabs and the Jews.
And how many miles is the wall?
humongous.
Okay, so maybe. We are not familiar, even in ancient times, even though they built massive structures, the walls they built were not miles.
The Chinese...
How long is that wall?
The surviving part is big.
So how many miles is it?
I don't know.
What do you say? How many miles is it?
It's a lot. 1,800 miles.
Really? 1,800 miles?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. 1,800 miles, walls are so long. Wow. Okay, then I stand corrected. So maybe you want to say that the wall, there's going to be a massive wall around this entire area, which means it's going to be a 250 mile wall around the entire thing. Right? So it's going to be 200 miles. It's about 50-50. So it's going to be about approximately 200 miles of wall. Okay, that's not so terrible. That's not so hard to imagine. The whole thing will be surrounded, maybe. Maybe that's what it means. On the other hand, you don't necessarily get that impression. You get the impression it's going to be the Har Bayis. It's not part of the city. The city is lower down. So what does that mean? How does all of that translate into what we have today? And Yerushalayim, like we discussed part of this yesterday with Rashi, the difficulty, how do we match up Yerushalayim of today with the way it's divided? It doesn't seem to be in the same place. Rashi says it is in the same place. We just don't understand that Yehuda had a massive chunk of land which equaled almost half of Eretz Yisrael, so it can work out. Like I told you, in these psukim here, there's not much commentary because the questions are much greater than the answers. In fact, there's a massive, I really have to agree with you, there's this massive mincha gedolah in your edition, mincha gedolah, where he's really going back in the previous psukim where he presents the opinions and the whole approach, very strange, of the notesrim. How often do you have over here in a commentary in the Mikros Gedolos that tells you what the Christians have to say about an approach to understand the psukim? And he thoroughly, well, over here in the Mikros Gedolos in the Art Scroll, they have it. And he comes to thoroughly reject it. And then he rejects another parish. Maybe at the end we'll read you some of those words of how powerful he writes to reject approaches of understanding these psukim. And the reason why he's doing that, obviously, even though it's not the normal way we would even take into account anything that they would say, is because there are major difficulties in understanding the Pshuta Shel Mikra. More often than not, we have a pasuk, we have Pshuta Shel Mikra, we have very traditional interpretations, we have an approach. But these psukim are not studied all that often because it's just very, very difficult to understand what is going on. What does this mean over here? You're going to have over here this section, Kohanim Levim, and they have Ir L'Moshav. Ir L'Moshav sounds like it's a new Yerushalayim. We are familiar that the Beis HaMikdash, we go to Yerushalayim, and in the center of Yerushalayim is the Har HaBayis. And here he's telling us, no, it's not going to be that way. There's the Mikdash Hashem, and then there's another chunk of land for the Levim, and then the city is down below. So now let's forget about talk about politics. Put aside
13,711 miles.
We're in China.
Yeah,
13,000.
What it says?
13,000. Is that possible?
1,000 miles.
Yeah, no.
It says 21,000 kilometers.
1,300 miles. 13,000. Can that possibly be? How tall is the wall?
It is very wide.
How do they build that?
Yeah, a lot of Chinese. What do you want?
How do they do that? Wow.
It was built in sections. It was built over a long period of time. They kept adding and adding and adding.
Amazing. Even with technology, you can't do that today.
Really,
with all the technology today, it's to build something like that, who could... All right, let's go further. The Ela, let's see the... Okay, so this is... Let's see over here this one Pasuk. Pasuk Tesvav in the verse, the Mitzudos David. Tesvav, he writes... let me find it here somewhere. Tesvav. Hanoisar, the leftover section of this chunk, Beroichav, ki kol haritzua b'chlolot yachav hei elef b'roichav v'hoitzim yam aser salafim achelik l'chayhanim uchinei halavim. The entire block is 25,000 kanim. So when we reduce, we remove the 10,000 for the kohanim, the 10,000 for the levim, we're left only with 5,000. You only have left from north to south 5,000. Al pnei, return to Leimar. Ba'orech, the width from left, the span from left to right is going to be the same amount, 25,000 kanim, which we learned so many times, 150,000 amos. With Sanalema Ba'orech Chafe Elef, Chol, who this last chunk of land is mundane, it's Chol, El Mul Kedushas, relative. Doesn't mean it's mundane, mamash. Mundane is relative to something that is more holy. And it is mundane relative to something that is less holy, that is contaminated. El mol kedushas achuzas hakoyhanim, relative to the sanctity of the koyhanim halavim tichashev lichulin. What will be the section before le'il le'moshav? It's in loyma haritzua hahitiel le'tzerch moshav ir. For what purpose? Le'sadois v'lichramim, for fields, vineyards, lichalkel, to sustain. Yoshvei ho'ir, the inhabitants of the city, ule migrash sav ho'ir, the migrash, around the city, there has to be an open area for beauty. You do not build, you do not do anything, you have to leave land open on the outskirts of the city. V'hu makom tamid libli zriya v'netiya, v'hu noy lo'ir, this creates a certain aesthetic for the city that it should look beautiful. Bissoy choy, bo'emtsois hachelek hazeh, that's where it will be, that's where it will be situated, the ear. Now let's see Rashi, Pasuk Tes Vav, Vachaneshe Salaf Manoisar, Beroichav, Ritsuas Hatum Hagadoila, from this strip of land, Shahoisa Eshim Hamishalaf Meroichav, Eurich Ka'achan Hachalokim, Nibas Yikodim Ad Pasyam, the leftover from this strip of land, which is 25,000 Konim from north to south, and whose length extends from east to west, from the Mediterranean all the way into the other end, wherever that is. And in the meantime, we've so far removed two sections of this chunk, one for the Kehan and one for the Levim. Shtei Ritzuas Bo Imtsi Isa, Arech Eshim V'chamisha Elef V'rachman Eshim Elef, 25,000, a block of 25,000, cut by 10,000, the Adayin Nishar, so do the math, 25,000 minus 10 minus 10, we have 5,000 left over. That's going to be for the people of the city. And it will span from left to right, east to east and west, for the entire span of 25,000 konim. What status does this chunk of land have? Choyl hu. It is mundane. Does not have the same sanctity as the two upper sections. Choil hu etzlam, relative to them it is mundane. That's where you live, and what it's going to, where will be the ear, will be bisoicha. Where will that block on this chart be? The ear lemayshav in the beemsa oiser itzua. Period. Okay, so we have a very nice description describing us over here exactly what it's going to look like times of Mashiach. This new section of land in the center of Eretz Yisrael, the Koyhanim, the Levim, and the Ir Lemoishav, and the two remaining sections on the left and the right will be for the Nasi, and that's pretty much it. Okay, again, like I told you, it's very mysterious. I mean, exactly what it's going to look like. We just know that the Harabais will be 3,000 Konim by 3,000 Amos by 3,000 Amos, as we've said so many times. Try to imagine in your mind that today the Har HaBayis is only about, let's say, the most 600 Amos by 1,000 Amos. That's what it looks like today. When you go see those pictures, all the pictures of the Har HaBayis, you look at the Har HaBayis today, it's about 1,000 Amos from north to south, and from the Kosel to the other side, it's about, at most, six. I'm giving you very generous numbers, at most 600 Amos. The Mishnah says that the Har HaBayis was originally 500 Amos by 500 Amos. How then did it get today to be approximately 600 Amos by 1,000 Amos? It was expanded at least twice. Once during the time of the Chashmonaim, the Chanukah miracle. At the Chanukah miracle, we know for a fact, the Chanukah miracle, 200 years into the base of Bayis Sheni, it was expanded, a certain section, probably on the east side it was expanded, and maybe a little bit was expanded also on the southern side, and then at the very end, about 100 years later, in the time of Hurdis, it was expanded very, very much on the north side. That is what we have today. But in the time of the Bayis Shlishi, it's going to be not 600 by 1,000, it's going to be 3,000 by 3,000. And that area where you go to the door of the Harabayis is not going to be the primary city. It's not going to be Yerushalayim. If you want to go to the main part of Yerushalayim, L'moshav L'ir, you got to go west. You got to go, not west. So you have to go south. You got to go south. You got to go south. Where the buses go, where the buses drop you off, so just keep on going that way. When you leave the Kaisel to go to the bus, you go by bus, you leave the Kaisel to go to the bus, just keep on going. Keep on going that direction, up that road, and just keep on going further, further, further for a long, long way for about, how many miles? For about 20 miles, maybe? Until you reach Yerushalayim. The main part of Yerushalayim, the Ir L'Moshav. The King David Hotel will be in the Ir L'Moshav. The Plaza, the Ramada, the Waldorf, and the Dun, what the Dun was called, the Dun, what is it called? The Dun Pearl? What is it?
They closed that.
They closed it down?
Closed down,
yeah. I remember years when they first built it, the newest thing.
It's an abandoned building.
Really? What happened? It was like the supposed to be the big thing. Wow, okay. So this is that's all that's going to be removed. It's going to have to be moved all the way in where Yerushalayim is now. You got to go all the way about 20 miles south. So what's there now? 20 miles south of Meir. You have in your mind, what's there? 20 miles south of the Kaisel. Go look on Google Maps. What's 20 miles south of the Kaisel today?
Big Shemesh.
No, it's not.
That's west.
So whatever is there. It's going to be a whole
Jordan,
new...
Jordan, no?
No.
20 miles is not enough to go to Jordan.
What's south of Hebron? It's south of... So you have Hebron, you have Bethlehem. That's supposed to be 20 miles.
No. Go look on Google Maps. Google Maps. Go look there. You see what it says there. Look at the Kaisel HaMaravi. And then just go south 20 miles. 15-20 miles, you'll come to the Ir L'Moshav. The Ir L'Moshav, and that's where the main part of Yerushalayim will be in the times of Yechezkel, according to what we've just learned. Next, Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Eila Midoseha. Now we're going to measure the measurements of this. Now we're not done yet. We're not finished yet. Now we're going to describe the city in much more detail. Here are the measurements of the new Yerushalayim. I don't know if it's called Yerushalayim. Maybe the whole thing is, I don't know what we're calling here. It doesn't call Yerushalayim. It calls it the Ir L'Moshav. The northern side is Chamesh Me'os V'Arbas Alafim. Now these L'Choyer are Amos. Okay, it says over here, it says Konim, not Amos, sorry. So that means you have to multiply that by 6. 4,500 Konim. Okay, so I don't think this thing is proportional. It does not appear that it's, because it is proportional. I made him say this because it is proportional. You have here from left to right 25,000 konim, and they're drawing a box which indeed is scaled to proportion, which is 4,500 konim. The Eila Midoy Secha, Pa'as Safa, on the northern side is Chamesh Meos, Rabas Alafim, period. Ufa'as Negev, the southern side is the same thing, it's Chamesh Meos. There's a Kri v'Ksiv. Okay, Ksiv V'loy Kri. For some reason it's missing, the word is missing. It must be a reason why it's missing, something very symbolic. And the southern side is Chamesh Meos V'Arbas Alafim, another 4,500. Upa'as Kadim Chamesh Meos V'Arbas Alafim, Upa'as Yom Chamesh Meos V'Arbas Alafim. Pasuk Yitzayin V'Hoya Migrash Le'ir, and there will be an open area surrounding the city, Tzafon on the northern side, Chamishim U'Mosayim, 250 Konim. Well, the Negba Chamish Mosaim, the Kadima Chamish Mosaim, the Yama Chamish Mosaim is going to be an open area around the 4,500, which is going to be the city itself. It's going to be an open area with nothing planted over there for 250 Konim. And to get the Amos, you multiply that by 6. The Hanoisar Bo'arech. What about the leftover Bo'arech? Le'umas Chumas HaKodesh, opposite the Chumas HaKodesh, which means opposite the Levim and the Kohanim above. Aseres Alafim Kodima, you're going to have 10,000, because over here, when you start with 25,000 and you reduce it by 4,500 plus a migrash on the left, 250, and a migrash on the right, 250, we've taken away 5,000 kanim from the 25,000. So how much is left over? 10,000. Let's review. The city itself is 4,500 square. How much, what is this, the spin of the migrash on the left and on the right? On the left, another 250, and on the right, 250. So 250 plus 250 is 500. 4,500 plus 500 is 5,000. What is the span from left to right, entire span? 25,000. When you take away 5,000 from 25,000, what are you left with? 20,000. Divide that in two, 10,000 on the left, 10,000 on the right. It's exactly what's looking in the pasuk. On 10,000 kadima on the east. The east is the right side. V'aseres lef yama on the west. The Hoya Lu'umas Chumas HaKodesh, this will be opposite Chumas HaKodesh, it will be opposite Chumas HaKodesh. The Hoyasa Tivu Oso Lilechem, and whatever grows in this 20,000 Kanim will be food for bread, L'Oivdei Ho'ir, those people who work in the city. So what is this, socialism? Communism? What kind of economy is this over here? Everyone's in big kibbutz? I don't know. Okay, but certainly this does not necessarily reflect the economy of the rest of the city, or the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which is massive. But over here, there's going to be a different order, a different economic system and order inside the Beis HaMikdash. Let's read one other passage.
It'll be centrally controlled.
I have no idea. Yeah, so it's what it seems. It seems like it's a big kibbutz. That's what it seems. It seems in this little section you have an Ir L'Moshav. You have an Ir L'Moshav, and in the Ir L'Moshav you have land, and it's the self-supported. The self-supported, whatever grows in this section is not for export, and there's no need for imports. And the people, what are they doing about it? What are they doing in the city? What are they doing there? What kind of work are they engaging in? It says they're working. Does this mean they're computer programmers? Does this mean they're accountants? Or does this mean, like it says, La'avda ul'shamra in Ma'aseh Bereishis? When Hashem put Adam in Gan Eden, it was La'avda ul'shamra. What did Adam and Chava do? What kind of work did they do in Gan Eden? They were cybersecurity experts? Not like...
They weren't there long enough.
It was people trying to hack into Gan Eden. What were they doing there? La'avda ul'shamra. I don't know. What, to plant, maybe? What, to plant, to work the land? Or does it mean something spiritual? To work... you shall serve Hashem. Vavadetem, you have to serve Hashem. So in Echnam, you look in Mefarshim, there's a very big disagreement. Go back to Gan Eden. There's a very big disagreement. What was the first man like? Was the first man a very, very pure spiritual creature? Or was Adam HaRishon a very basic human being, which developed over time into a spiritual giant? This is a machlekes. There's a very big machlekes about this. And the truth obviously is elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are different elements of both. So here, when it says in times of Mashiach, people are going to be oivdei ho'ir, it's not all clear what exactly they are doing, what kind of labor they're doing in the city. They're called oivdim, and they need support, and the support is going to be simple food, bread, grain that grows in the achuzas ho'ir. Next, pasuk yitetz v'ho'ivei ho'ir ya'avduhu. Who will work in the city? Those who work in the city ya'avduhu. They will work in it. They will serve it. Mikol Shiftei Yisrael. Don't make a mistake and think that the Ir L'Moshav is only for the elite. It's only for Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, or for people, the grandchildren of the Kohanim and the Levim.
How do you know that the Avdu refers to the people in the city? Maybe it refers to the people in the Shvatim who are doing work. The truck seemed to be a little different.
The Ha'ivet Ho'ir.
Stop.
Those who work in the city.
Yeah, Yavduhu.
Yavduhu. Shall work. shall work.
How do you know Yabdu doesn't refer to the safe of the person who calls you to your show?
It does.
Yeah, so they're going to work for them, the people who live in the city.
No, no. Okay, we'll read the Mefarsh. We'll go through. Let's see. Let's go step at a time. So let's first go back, and we went through a lot of psukim. Let's go and read the psukim one and read the Mefarshim one at a time, starting with Pasuk Tezayin. Okay, so I have to go all the way down to Pasuk Chaf. Tezayin to Chaf. Let's see. Tezayin begins in the Metzudos David. It says here, Ve'ela midoy secha shel ho'ir. Now we're going to describe the dimensions of the city itself. Number one, it says, V'ha'isa pasuk yitzayin, V'ha'isa migrash lo'ir. So we describe the dimensions, 4,500 by 4,500. Then we mention over here the migrash. Midas ha-migrash asher lo'ir. Safoina b'fas, safoina yeh chamish m'masayim coming. On the north side, the migrash is 250. And on the southern side as well, V'ha'noisa b'orch. Now notice, there's nothing left. If the city from north to south, from north to south, we only have 5,000 amos to begin with. If the city takes up 4,500 amos, and we're giving the boundary for another 250 on the north and 250 on the south, we're done. There's nothing left. There's nothing left because 4,500 plus 250 plus 250 equals 5,000. And the entire span from north to south is 5,000, so there's nothing left. On the left and the right, we're going to remain with 10,000, as we went through the calculation a few moments ago. Along the Reichav, which means north to south, there's nothing left. The Tav, because the city itself is 4,000, the Tav Kuf, 500 konim. Each the migrash is 250. That's why the pasuk did not need to specify the leftover on the north and the south, because there is no leftover. But on the east and the west, we have a leftover of 10,000 konim. The remaining area on the east and the west, which opposite the area of the kohanim and the levim above. It will equal its measurement. The grain that grows in this area, on the left and the right, it will be as food. Who are those people? Those who live in the city and work in the city to achieve, to bring benefit to the city. Pasuk Yutes. Now here's the pasuk you're referring to, Mr. Rapport. Call Echot. Will be entitled to work there. There is no discrimination. It is available for everyone. It does not matter which shevet you come from. You have a legal right to get a job in the main part of the city. Mikol shiftei Yisrael. Yitzan Loimar. Kol shiftei. Over here, he says very interesting words. It doesn't just mean you have a right. You have an obligation. You have an obligation to get a job and to work in this part. Kol shiftei Yisrael chayavim la'avoid es la'avoid. Oh, and I made it so he says something. So call Yisrita Yisrael Chayavim La'avoid to serve as Oivdei Ho'ir. Lahazmin as call. I translated it wrong. Lahazmin, they're obligated to serve them. Yavduhu, they shall be served. We call Shiftei Yisrael, they will be supported. Anything that they need must be provided for them by the remainder of Klal Yisrael. The husband is called Hatzarech Lachem Ki Heim Yoshim Beir. The Mokam called Yisrael. These people live in the city. Does not tell us who they are. They're there and they are serving Klal Yisrael. Thus, they are entitled to receive compensation, support from Klal Yisrael. Every member of Klal Yisrael will pay a tax in order to make sure the people that live in the city have what they need. You'll ask, but don't they have the grain? Isn't the grain that's growing on the left and the right, isn't that enough? Obviously not. Obviously there are more things that they need than just the grain that grows there. Because this city represents Klal Yisrael. the people in the Shiftei Yisrael will be occupied in other activities in order to produce goods that will be given free of charge or in compensation for the people who are selected to work in the Ir L'Moshav, who represent the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, so these are public servants and they get tax money. They are recipients of tax money for their service for Klal Yisrael. So Mr. Rapport, you are correct. Devodim Shamarti, Tohu Sein Biyati. You are correct. Feels good saying that. It's Gaiva to say that, right? It's really Gaiva to say that. All part of my Gaiva. All part of the show. What?
Do they get a retirement package?
I don't know. How does it work? That's a very big mystery. In ancient times, that was a very big mystery. It's a very big problem to the Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so in Eretz Yisrael, that's a very today also, it's a very big problem because the retirement packages and pension is nothing near what the American system, and there's a very big pachad. People living in Eretz Yisrael, they have a very big pachad. What are they going to do when they get old? No.
No, the Amish have a very good pension.
They do.
Sure do. They pay more for pension.
Okay, I made a mistake then. I was okay, I made a mistake then. I don't know that. I made a mistake.
The army has a very good pension.
The army. What about people that are not in the army?
Private companies are required.
Private companies are required in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I made a mistake. Maybe I read. Maybe I think about years ago.
This is talking about the area for the Kohanim and the Leviim. So whatever in this small city, whatever they described,
The Ir L'Moshav, it does not say anywhere the Ir L'Moshav is exclusively the rights of Kohanim Leviim. It does not say that.
This is in the area of the Kohanim and
Leviim. It is. It's opposite. But it's not this. It's not the area. It's not. It's opposite. That doesn't say Leviim. This is the Ir L'Moshav is the city who lives there. It doesn't say. It's not part of anyone's property. All of the Shvatim have their own section of land. The Ir L'Moshav is public property. So who lives there? Doesn't say. Kohanim live here? Not necessarily. The Kohanim live, they live above. They live in the section above. The Levim live above. Who lives in the Ir L'Moshav? What are they doing there? What are they doing in the Ir L'Moshav? What kind of activities are taking place over there? Why do we need to support people who are there?
The administrative buildings.
What?
Administration
for the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, probably.
So, is in the area of the Kohanim, isn't there enough? There's a very
Kohanim doing the holy things.
Yeah,
being doing holy things. I mean, they do
maintenance. Okay, maybe I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
Because of the Shvatim has.
There were no maintenance men among the Kohanim. There were no maintenance men among the Leviim. The old workers. You're right. I really don't know. Obviously, there's something more than meets the eye here. We have a thing called an Ir L'Moshav. The psukim, the fact that the psukim go to the effort to tell us this is unusual. Obviously, you have a city. You have to have a mayor. You have to have clean water. You have to have food. You have to have a security force. Obviously, so you need all everything. The Torah doesn't have to go spell out for you every little detail. It's pashut. There have to be administrative offices, and there has to be a communication department, and there has to be v'chulu v'chulu. So what is it coming over here to go tell us? There's going to be an Ir L'Moshav, and the Ir L'Moshav is going to have its own grain, the tzvu aso, and then that's not going to be enough. And everyone in Klal Yisrael is after sending tax, be taxed to support the select group of people who are working here in the Ir L'Moshav.
Washington D.C.
Okay, so it's a center, but there wasn't enough of a center by the Kohanim and the Leviim. Why does there have to be a whole ear for the center of the Beis HaMikdash? There's more than enough space in the section for the Kohanim and the Leviim to provide support and help for the Kohanim and the Leviim. I don't know.
It's not seen as the capital of the national capital.
What, the Ir L'Moshav?
Other than the work of the Beis HaMikdash, and you know, also seen where the Melech?
The Melech, he has his chelik, Nasi. He on the left and the right.
Chelik.
Yeah. Where's the palace?
Okay, but doesn't that mean that there's a whole administrative apparatus there?
I guess so. What else?
Why have they want to separate?
I don't know.
We're going to separate Chol from Kodesh. One part the two top parts are
Kodesh. Kodesh.
And the other is Chol.
So he's saying it's not, they have to have all the mundane elements of the Beis HaMikdash were maintained in the Ir L'Moishav.
Yeah, but not as part of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Mizbeach.
Okay, obviously all the construction crews, all of the tools, all of the different mundane things that were needed to maintain the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash was not Kedai to put them in the sacred section of the Kohanim and the Levim. They kept it in the mundane, the Chol of the Ir L'Moishav. Maybe, Enochanami, I don't know. I'm just trying to point out that everything here has significance, and we have yet to understand the significance when Mashiach will come, hopefully very soon. Now, let's see here again, so we finish the Pasuk Yutes, is how we learned. Let's see the Rashi's. Rashi's going back to Pasuk Tes Zayin. Okay, so we have over here a little Rashi. Rashi, the Elamid Osecha Shalir. Here we're now going to describe the measurements of the city itself. What are the measurements? Pa'asa, from the northern side, Mirubas. The Pasuk specifies the four sides, and the dimensions are exactly the same, 4,500, which teaches us that it's a square. Arbas, Allah from the Chamei Shmeos Konim, Arbas, Allah from the Chamei Shmeos Konim, in the Shadu Berechav Chamei, from the Rechav, Lechel with 500 Amos, Chamei Shmeos Amos, Chamei Shmeos, Sehemi Yu, Lilehem, Limigrosh. And this will be for them, for the Migrosh, Mosayim Lechamishim, Latsafim, Mosayim Lechamishim, Konim Ladorim, Kamosh Omer, Bemigrosh, Shelemato, like it says in the next Pasuk. The Chayim Lemishchum Arif. East and the West, we have 4,500, another 500 for the Migrash, Hare Chamei Shes Alofim, Al Chamei Shes Alofim, Bo Emsa, Haritzua. We've taken up 5,000 Konim in the center. What is left from 25,000 Konim? 20,000. Hare Kol Rachba Mimula, the whole south, north to south is complete. Uvo Oirech Haritzua Hazois Hashlishes Nishadu Aseres Alofim Lemizrach. The Aseres Alofim Lemarif. Now in this Ritzua, this third Ritzua, the third, because the Kohanim is the first, the Levim is the second, this is the third, we're left with, on the left and the right, 10,000 on both sides. The Aseres Alofim Lemarif, Aleim Hu Mefarash Yoimer, Vehanoisar, Bo'orech Lumas Shuma, which is opposite the Levim on the Kohanim above, HaKodesh Aseres Alofim Kadima, Aseres Alofim Yama, is going to be for grain. Okay, next Rashi, V'hoya Migrash Le'ir, Kol migrashei ir shebe migra mekoyim pani. Every time it says with migrash in Tanakh, it's all for an open area. Loi batim veloi sadeh. No homes, no fields, no planting, no graveyards, nothing. Open area, for, as the Mitzvah says, for beauty. Pasuk Yudches v'haisa tivua so lelechem loivdeichu ir heim hagiv oinim. Hanesunim chaytvei eitzim v'shavei mayim. And look what Rashi over here says, an unbelievable chiddush. Who is going to be in the Oivdei Ho'ir? So I start off by telling you, go back to Bereishis, go back to Gan Eden. L'ovda u'l'shamra, spiritual work, koila, the whole Oivdei Ho'ir, people learning in koila. The serving Hashem. So that's not what he says. He says, this is going to be for the people, the lowest class of society. People who are paid below minimum wage. People who are water drawers and wood choppers. They're going to live here in the Ir L'Moishav, prime real estate. Prime real estate. Hey, and who are they? They're even Gerim, not even Jews. They're not, I mean, they're converts, but the status of their conversion is questionable. The Givoinim, Hanisunim, the Givoinim, which the time of Yehoshua, what? Moshe Rabbeinu, both. They had a Maisu by Moshe and a Maisu of Yehoshua. Moshe was Amalek. Amalekim, people, Canaanim, people who wanted, who got word that they're going to be wiped out. So they disguised themselves. They put on clothing. They made believe they came from a faraway land. And they tried to change their speech, their language. And they tried to make believe that they came from very far, far away to make peace with the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu was fooled. Unbelievable. He was fooled. They fooled him. So you see such a hechatimsa where you can even fool the Gadol Hadar. How are you talking such a thing? Yehoshua as well. He was also fooled. How could that possibly, you know, you're talking about Shabbosai Tzvi. Shabbosai Tzvi was able to fool some of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, it's unbelievable. And so it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Bar Kochba, not necessarily fool him. Bar Kochba was really, he turned sour. Bar Kochba was the real deal. He was the real deal, and he turned sour. But Shabsai Tzvi was a phony from the beginning.
Right.
From the beginning. And yet, you read the history, I don't remember this anymore, but who is alive in this time? Some of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael believed him. They really fell for it. And only later did they realize that they were taken for a ride.
Was he his predecessor was Shlomo Malchum?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since we went into this stuff. Okay. But in any event, you see, even Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, you know, you live in a world. You people, unfortunately, we have. It's a good thing that today is a certain group of people. They're taught, they're trained, das Torah, not to challenge, not to challenge. Well, Erev was sincere. That was a whole different issue. The Erev Avuchar was sincere.
God didn't want them to go along.
What?
God didn't want them to go along.
So Hashem, but Moshe, Hashem allowed Moshe. Hashem understood what's going to happen at the end. But Moshe took them. We don't find that they deliberately tried to manipulate the full Moshe Rabbeinu. They just were not ready. They were not spiritually ready for what would come. But you know, we live in a generation where Baruch Hashem, people are taught not to challenge Talmidei Chachamim. Not to challenge Das Torah. But that does not mean in any way or shape or form that Das Torah is perfect. Das Torah, what?
It's not infallible.
That's exactly the point. And what's the proof? The proof is Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua. They were fooled. Straight out, they were fooled. And this goes down besides the fact that there's a whole section entirely they've been Kurbanos.
Maybe that's what it means, Yehoshua didn't do it.
Okay, so over here we have, yeah.
Yer Rashi, Mechotei Vesecha, Bebarshan Yisrael, you say, Milamed she Kinaanim bau leitgayer.
Say again?
In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Milamed she bau Kinaanim leitgayer bimei Moshe, Kedera she bau Givonim.
Kinaanim. Givonim was in the time of Yehoshua, and Moshe was fooled in the time by Kinaanim. The Kinaanim have to be wiped out. They did not want to die. The Givonim also needed to be wiped out. They did not want to die. They wanted to remain in the land. So what did? They disguised themselves as people from a very faraway land. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote for them a document. He wrote them a deed. I will not harm you. We will not harm you. We're a peaceful nation. We're not going to harm you. They come into Eretz Yisrael, and they're out to wipe them out, as the Torah says, to wipe them out, and they take out their deed. What deed? We never wrote you a deed. Yes, you did. Ha, ha, ha. We fooled you. So according to the halacha, we're not responsible. But in the United Nations, they don't understand that.
That's right.
It will be a chil Hashem. Even though we have absolutely no obligation to abide by this contract because it was deceit, 100% deceit. But unfortunately, we live in an alma de shikra, a world of sheker, and the world doesn't want to know the MS. And there are certain conventions that we have no choice but to follow.
And they just got there.
To Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, it's a very powerful lesson in the way the world works. Back from time immemorial, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua ben Nun made a decision that we're going to honor the contract. Even though the contract was 100% deceitful, 100% null and void, we're going to honor the contract. Because... listen, that's the way the world works. We live in the Alma de Shikra. But there are consequences. The consequences are you're going to be a low-class citizen. We're going to relegate you to the bottom of the barrel. We're going to discriminate against you. We're going to have laws that are going to exploit whatever we can do because you're going to get what you deserve. Really, we should kill you. And you deceived us, you're even worse. And therefore we can't do it. But whatever we can get away with, we're going to get away with because you are who you are. And what was the punishment? They were appointed to be woodcutters and shayavei mayim. Okay, so this is what it says. So it's shocking. Today, could anyone trace the lineage, say, I'm from the Givonim? You know anyone today out there that says, I'm from the Givonim?
What? Disagrees with
Rashi. Well, no.
Okay, I know. Of course. That's not true. But I know. The Mitzvah also disagrees. He doesn't say this. Right. I know, he says Kashmati, but let's just appreciate
it. In the time of Shaul HaMelech,
we
killed the Bnei Shaul HaMelech.
The Givonim, right.
Yeah.
Because they, right, that's exactly correct. The children of Shol HaMelech were hung up. In Ruach HaKodesh, it was a disaster, right? In Hanami, because they exploited the Gevurim.
For months they were hung up.
For months. That was a very bizarre, very, very difficult section of Nach. But in any event, you see over here this very difficult idea, and look what's going on over here. So today, could anyone identify from the Jews which shevet you're from? No. No one knows where they come from. Even Kohanim and Levim, we always question. We question the authenticity of their yichus. But all of a sudden, when Mashiach comes, we're going to know who the Gevinim are. We know the Einichlach of the Gevinim.
Yeah, but
very, very strange. What?
The description of the job assignments.
Yeah.
Now we don't have already for hundreds.
Right. We have modern things.
Carriers. Everything is
exactly automation. Exactly. So what does this mean? I don't know what this means. You're right. That's why these are very difficult psukim. So this really says the Gevinim Chayt ve'Eitzim v'Shoy ve'Mayim Kach Shamati Mishmoy Shel Rabbi Menachem Zatzal. This is how he interprets the pasuk. And can you imagine? For all the people who are going to live in the Ir LeMoshav, it's going to be them. It's going to be the Gevinim. Are the Gevinim on a spiritual level that they're deserving to live in the proximity of the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, people today, the most expensive real estate in the world is probably in Yerushalayim. Is that true? Close? Some of the most expensive real estate is Yerushalayim, no? And who's going to live there in the Ir LeMoshav? The Gevinim, people that are not even really Jews, who deceived us, who tricked us, and they're given the jobs that he said today that don't even apply today. Today, who no one draws water today in the modern world. Today we have machines, wells, we have technology. There's even technology where you can literally create water out of thin air. You see this online? There are machines today, you turn on the machine and water comes literally out of the air. You're able to extract water from the environment. So what's going on over here? All right, listen, we don't know this. We don't know what this means. Some Taka want to say, I mean, the Pasukim Nitzavim, Atem, Nitzavim, Hayam, Kulchem, Ufneshem, Elkechem. So it goes on to say, Roshechem, Shiftechem, Zignechem, Shetrechem,
Kol Yisrael,
Mechotei, Veitzelcha, Ad, Sh'ei, Bimecha. So there you look in the Hasidish Svarim. What are they teach? When it says, let's go backwards, I don't remember it right away, but Mishoyev Meimecha means tzaddikim who are shoyev mayim v'sason. You have the simcha space ha-shoeva, misham shoyavim ruach ha-kodesh. Ein mayim ela Torah. People who are drawing water, it means they're drawing out spirituality from this world. Eitzecha, Eitz Chayim Hila Machazikin. The Torah is called an Eitz. Those who cut down trees, I don't know the exact term how to fit into the pasuk in the Chassidus Sfarim. It means people that are involved in the secrets of the Eitz. They're able to open up the Torah and to see what's inside the Torah. Torah which is called an Eitz Chayim. So it means the greatest of the great. And if you want to go take that, and you want to go read it into the Rashi, it's a nice drush, but the word Gevinim still does not fit very well, because Gevinim is a certain nation, but if you want to go say, if you want to take the Chassidus Shavar and put it in the Pasuk, to some degree, and try to fit it in, Itaka means, who will be Zoycha to sit in the Ir LeMoshav? Who's going to sit there? And the Ir LeMoshav will be the biggest tzaddikim. To get into the Ir LeMoshav, you have to take a Bechina on Kol HaTorah Kula. You got to not take the pin test. Kol HaTorah Kula, you have to be a tzaddik or Yerushimayim that can be shoyev the mayim of Torah from the Tehoim. And you will be supported. You will be supported by who? There will be grain. You'll eat lechem. You'll have from Yahuza So'ir on the two sides, you'll have the lechem. And the whole Klal Yisrael will be running to provide your needs so you can sit and study Torah to be shoyev the mayim and to study the Eitz Chayim. That's a whole different. And I think, and look at, so you have two different extremes. I told you two different extremes. One means the simplest person, the lowest level from the totem pole, the Gevinim, they're not even Jewish, deceitful people. And they're sitting there. Mitzad Sheni, you have this Drush, which is a popular Drush. It's not my popular Drush, Shoyev Emecha. It means the greatest of the great. That really parallels Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava, Le'ovda u'le'shamra. What was the spiritual? What did they look like? What kind of creatures were they? Look in the Midrashim. In the Midrashim is a machlokes. Some go mamish, like I just told you, mikotza el kotza. And what is the middle of the Ula Shamra? There's an opinion in the Medrash that says Adam and Chava were on such a spiritual exalted level that we cannot even have any comprehension of what kind of creatures they were. They're like just off the charts. We can't even relate. And when it says La'avda u'lashamra, they were creating worlds in the spiritual realm. And the other Mandi Amar in the Medrash says the extreme opposite. They were like barbarians. They were like the most basic element of a human being, just a little bit more than an animal. The only difference was Hashem gave them intellect. And through their lifetimes, they grew. They developed to become spiritual people beyond our comprehension. But that's not how Adam and Chava started out. They were like what we would call barbarians. So which one is right? It's a Medrash. Which one is right? And then when it says La'avdu L'shamra, what did they do? Who knows what they did? They built huts. They worked the land with their hands. They did something that is so, to us, is so foreign, is so far removed from the world of reality, just to barely survive in Gan Eden. So which is right? Is it the spiritual Adam and Chava, or is it the Adam and Chava that's a very, very lowly creature who developed over time because he came to Makkah Baruch Hu? Elu vi elu divrei Elokim chayim. Here's the same exact thing. Over here you have, over here, v'oivid o'ir yavduhu, mikol shchu, who's the oivid o'ir? So on one end, we assume, Rashi over here says, we assume it means chash of the people, you know, tell me, you have the gevoinim. Who are the gevoinim? The choytvei eitzim v'shoya v'imayim, and since we find in Parshas Nitzavim, this type of Jewish, choytvei eitzim v'shoya v'imayim does not only mean people that draw with their hands water, but it's merames on something extremely spiritual. So you have those two of Mahalchim here as well to understand what's going to happen when Mashiach comes.
From Yeshua till now, how many years it is?
Oh. How many years will Mashiach come?
No, from Yeshua that they were give on him,
yeah,
till in this year scale. How many
till years? This has not happened yet. Right. At least that we know of. This has not happened yet.
Oh, you are waiting?
We're waiting for this to happen.
Okay, very nice.
Waiting. Yeah.
As you said, Rashi is not very understanding at that point. He's saying it's a shame.
Right, the shame, Rabbi Menach. I know that. I said it's quite a mess. But if Rashi quotes someone, if Rashi went to the effort to quote someone, obviously Rashi held of it, at least to the degree that it was worth mentioning. Okay, obviously. He's not quoting me.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Right. That's what it says. And Chayitz Eitzim is also alluded to something along those lines. What does this mean over here? Loiv Deho Ir? You have a translation? A French word?
Yeah. Asirvon. To the workers.
To the workers. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pasuk. Okay, Pasuk Yutas Yavdu Mikol Shifte Yisrael Shenosnu Luchem Chelik Zevi Aretz. They will, the people of all the Yavduhu Mikol Shifte Yisrael, which means Shenosnu Luchem Chelik Zevi Aretz. Which translating is that according to Rashi Pshara Menachem is that the whole Klal Yisrael will allot them, will give them this section of land for them to live in and to serve the Beis HaMikdash.
Who are the Givonim now?
I told you, we do not know who the Givonim are. Let's see Pasuk Yitesh, in the Radak. Pasuk Yitesh in the Radak says, Z'oyve v'ho'eved o'ir ya'avdu mikol shifte yishol ki ba'avuram heim oivdim sham. Because the people that are in the city, they're working on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Uvimukaimam, uvidinhu, sheya'avdum b'chol dover shetitztarech. Therefore, it's only fair and proper that they should be served. All of their needs should be provided for by Klal Yisrael. The Yishluchu Lohem Menachos, and they should send the Shiftei Yisrael should send to them gifts. The Yesh Mefarshim Oivdei Ho'ir Hagivainim. He quotes over here what Rashi said. Rabbi Menachem, the Ein Loi Tam. The Radak says this is nonsense. In the future, they're not going to be any good. We have modern plumbing. We don't need them to cut down. And wood, I don't know how they're going to cut down wood. They're still, trees are chopped down by human beings. They don't chop down trees. It's a big business. What are they called? The people.
Loggers.
the most dangerous job in the country. Most deaths occur
the,
people who are...
The regular wood chopper was what? He cut the wood.
With his hands.
The wood at home and put on the shoulder shoulders.
You're saying the hard work was the transport, not the cutting down. Okay, so today that's not an issue today. Today
they have the water. They will throw the water on the shoulder.
Ki lo yu oyin ha givoinim b'shar simli asid v'lo yitochen sheyu givoinim yoshva yushlaim hu yach kedoysha b'shil yisrael. Rashi over here says it's not logical. Givoinim who are on the lowest level of the social status are going to be the ones to give the portion to live in the Holy Land, to live opposite the Beis HaMikdash. It's just not Mistaver. But if you learn, like I told you, the Jewish, it alludes to something more symbolic, we're not really referring to them. Alright, so that concludes this Pasuk. The Pasuk Chav, I'm going to stop over here. Okay, we'll stop here, pick this up on Monday.
Hebron is 28.6 kilometers wide. So...